Hello and welcome to another episode of GT Radio. Boy, I have a great show for you tonight. A great guest who's so eclectic, full of an amazing story. He's what I think one of a kind. Please welcome Mark Bertha. How are you, Mark?
Thank you. I'm doing well. How are you tonight?
Good, good, good. So you grew up in a working class family, a small farming town. What lesson did you learn from your parents? Because I know they were very hard workers.
They were, but, you know, first and foremost, you know, if you don't mind, today is Veterans Day. I want to thank all of our veterans and active military and guard. You know, without them, none of us would be able to do what we do each and every day. And my father was actually a Vietnam veteran in the Navy, so big thank you out to him. And that's kind of the preface right there. I mean, you know, for my parents are blue-collar, middle-class people. My dad, you know, worked two jobs, was always willing to do what was needed, regardless of whether he wanted to or not. You know, hard work, work ethic, honesty and integrity. For my mom, actually was more of like the softer side of the world. I mean, you know, having empathy and being fair and taking care of people. And at the same time, more of the creative. I mean, taking the road less traveled, thinking differently, opening doors that, you know, you never think you would want to open, but making sure you care about people along the way. And so those work, you know, those principles have led into my values of who I am and what I believe in. And you know, it's funny, I live in Cleveland now in Northeast Ohio, and, you know, LeBron said it. I mean, nothing is given, everything is earned. Of course, he went to L.A. now, so we won't talk about that, of course, but it's all a combination of all those things, you know, and that's made me who I am today.
Yeah, the foundation is so important. Now, you had a pretty well interesting job as a teenager that placed you in the position to do pretty well everything in hospitality. Tell us a little bit about that, because that was a great story.
Yeah, you know, I love to work. Funny, I guess. But I started working when I was 9 years old. I remember delivering newspapers, my own little business, working in bakeries. You know, my first real job, pretty much when I could really work, was in high school. I worked the summers in a catering and event hall. And, you know, whether it was weddings or it was corporate outings, company picnics, whether I was washing dishes or parking cars or mowing lawns or whatever, you know, I had all these memories. And I remember dressing up in a lot of these events like weddings and bar mitzvahs and things like that in a tuxedo and serving hors d'oeuvres at 16 years old thinking, wow, this is pretty cool. More importantly, the food was really good, so I got to eat all of it at the end. But, you know, the real takeaway for me at that point that really resonated was this is a really cool industry. You're part of these special events. And they're really people's memories. They're these life-changing occasions. They're fun, and you're a part of that and delivering that experience. And that really kind of set the momentum of me falling in love with this business and looking to build a career in this space. So,
yeah, it's when you have that kind of exposure and you see the effect it has on people, it really gives you an emotional sensation, right? It's almost like you're making every moment so special for them. Is that right?
It is, you know, and that's what we do each and every day. I mean, with Hard Rock, we deliver authentic experiences that rock. That's our sort of our mission, but it's so much more than that. I mean, people in our business that come to our properties, that enjoy what we offer, it's about having a good time, of course, but it's more importantly, I mean, people have lots of choices. It's about having the opportunity to do something memorable, to be with friends or family, and to really celebrate, you know, the fun and exciting and you know, life-changing pleasures in the world. And, you know, the hospitality business allows you to do that, no matter whether you're in food and beverage or hotels or casinos or, you know, any aspects of it. Around the world, it's a shared human quality. And to be able to be in an industry where you can deliver that and really, you know, raise the bar and be creative and diverse. And it's a fantastic industry with so much opportunity in it, so it's been fun.
So you went to Cornell, and then there they had a speaker series every week, and there was one speaker in particular that really captured your attention and influenced you. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so, you know, taking that knowledge and some of that experience as a teenager, I applied to Cornell, went to the hotel school, and it was really a great opportunity for me to sort of concentrate and focus and really see the world in a much bigger picture. And, you know, while I was there, clearly wasn't really sure what. I came from a really small town in Connecticut, farm next to me, literally. and, you know, was able to kind of start seeing the world. And we had this one speaker series where these really renowned executives would come in every Friday in the fall, and they would basically talk about who they were in their industry and whatever. And, you know, one of those classes was a gentleman named Steve Wynn. And although, you know, Mr. Wynn has clearly been a bit controversial of late, you know, in the early 90s when I was there, when he spoke, he was, for me, mesmerizing. I mean, he would literally, he's one of these people who could get up and speak bumps and, you know, sell you any kind of Kool-Aid. And, you know, it's really a rare breed. But more importantly, you know, what he did is he told stories about the industry and his experiences and you know, what he did to take care of guests as a hospitality leader. He painted these amazing pictures of the types of properties and amenities and different things that he was offering. He really, you know, had a very unique way of, you know, delivering on and explaining to people what he did. And so for me, it was exhilarating. It was really, you know, something that opened my eyes wide. And at the time, Las Vegas, you know, was on the cover of Time magazine. You know, the Strip was booming. And so for me, it was that kind of opening to, you know, hey, the gaming industry, that's something I never thought of. It sounds exciting and sounds like something that's really booming. You know, maybe I need to find out more about it.
Now, you said when he spoke, he painted pictures.
Mm-hmm.
What did that mean? I mean, how did he speak?
Yeah, I mean, he clearly is a master. I mean, you look at his buildings that he created, from a Bellagio to a Wynn to what he's done in Macau to the Mirage way back in the day. I mean, he is able to sort of, you know, bring you into a world, into an experience where it's not just, you know, two-dimensional or black and white. He fills the space with color and volume, and, you know, he takes you through the experience as if, you know, you are there, seeing and feeling and touching and smelling and whatever, what's going on in the building. And I think that is truly what has allowed someone like him, and there are others clearly in our industry, to create these experiences. You know, I've talked before in my past about, you can be in the business of delivering a commodity and a product and a service, or you can be in the business of delivering an experience. And it's not a transaction. It's a personal interaction. It's a relationship-driven thing. It's something that blows people away. And that's what he did by telling these stories and painting these pictures. It made you, you know, fall in love and want to go there, want to see it, want to experience it. And it's an art. It really is. I mean, it's as much a science, but it's truly an art to, you know, to create these things, to develop them, build them, open them, and continue to operate them. And so, you know, he was clearly a master and, you know, kind of, you know, brought me into that fold.
So your first casino gig was out of Atlantic City. Tell us a little bit about those years and that experience.
Yeah, so actually it was brief. I mean, after he spoke, I was like, wow, I really need to, you know, get a taste of this gaming industry thing. It sounds really, really cool. So I think it was going in my junior year, I went to do an internship in Atlantic City at Resorts International. Way back in the day, it was Merv Griffin's property. And this was my first time really out of Connecticut, my first time other than being in school, taking a job there. It was a little bit, you know, one of these road less traveled, open the door and try something new. But, you know, working in Atlantic City in the, you know, the early 90s, I mean, it was booming, it was exciting, the boardwalk was invigorating. But working in the property, I mean, it just blew me away. I mean, even, you know, restaurants and cafes and hotels, you know, are good sized, but to walk into a casino where you have dozens of restaurants and you've got thousands of people and hundreds of hotel rooms, I mean, the size and the scale of what we do and what we were delivering was just absolutely mesmerizing. And I started off my career in food and beverage. That's kind of where I cut my teeth and, you know, what I was basically focused on, you know, at Cornell. And to be in a building where you had a dozen restaurants and one day you're working in a buffet doing, you know, 3,000 covers, you know, tons of items on the line and people coming and going, to the next week you're working in a fine dining restaurant and you're serving, you know, Bordeaux wines and, you know, expensive meals and high-end quality service and amenities and linens and everything, the whole package. I mean, to kind of go from A to Z, you know, across the spectrum and really see this, you know, wide spectrum of what could be provided in the space, particularly in the food and beverage space, you know, was just amazing to me. And then again, you know, the hospitality, it was exciting. It wasn't a desk job, clearly, day to day. I really just started to fall in love with the energy, with the business, and, you know, taking that sort of experience, packaging in with the Steve Wynn's of the world and what was going on in Las Vegas with the boom in the 90s, I just kind of knew when I graduated that I absolutely, you know, had to be in Las Vegas working there in this industry.
Tell us about Vegas. You had a great gig right out of the gate. Tell us all
about
that.
And I think I interviewed for two places. One was a backup. I don't even remember what company it was, as a like a hotel company. And the other was Mirage Resorts. And, you know, this was the mid-90s, and I'm graduating. And I literally was, I think, harassing the people recruiting me because I so desperately wanted to work there. You know, I had got recruited, went out there to see it, interviewed. You know, Siegfried and Roy and the, you know, the volcano. I mean, it was like Nirvana. I mean, it was just something surreal out of my mind. Coming from a really small town, I'm like, where am I? It was literally the adult Disneyland. And, you know, for me, it was dreaming big. And I got recruited into the Management Associate Program, the MAP program there, and started my career, you know, going through that and working in food and beverage. But more importantly, you know, that property, you know, you could see, going back to what I was talking about with the Wynn sort of vision, you could see the attention to detail and his level of interaction with every single detail. You know, you could tell that it was going to be something truly remarkable. So I started my career at the Mirage, you know, right out of college, and, you know, basically started to escalate from there.
Yeah, and tell us about the Bellagio, because you went from the Mirage to the Bellagio, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, again, it was the time Vegas was booming. There was so much development going on. I started off in food and beverage. I worked my way up to being basically overseeing the whole beverage department at the Mirage at, like, 24. And so from there, we were getting ready to start developing and building and opening the Bellagio. And this was, you know, Bellagio, interestingly enough, just celebrated its 20th anniversary. In 98. So, you know, shortly, after a few years of being at the Mirage, I, you know, made the decision. I was, you know, offered the opportunity to go to the Bellagio to be part of the opening team. And I went over there to oversee the beverage operations in that building. And we're talking, like, I don't know, I think it was 22 bar outlets, obviously 24/7, you know, a few hundred employees. But it was really a once-in-a-lifetime experience for me, because we were doing something in that building that had really never been done before. And whether it was the design, it was the amenities, the services, it was all about raising the bar. But it was just such a unique opportunity at the time to be part of a team and a vision and, you know, truly something that was unique that basically, you know, I believe changed not only the city but truly the industry. And began this whole spectrum of these entertainment destination resorts being more than just gaming, truly just gaming, you know, buildings. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Bellagio redefined the high-end casino, there's no question. And what a time to be involved. Just unbelievable. And then, on top of all that, the next thing you find yourself in Macau in the swamp, working for the Venetian, getting ready to develop their stuff in China.
Yeah, I mean,
tell us about that. So you go from one legend into another. Yeah.
Talk about transition.
Tell us a little about that. Yeah.
Yeah, Bellagio was, you know, clearly an amazing opportunity, and, you know, something that I really think, you know, was a milestone in my career. And, you know, I made this sort of, I guess, intuitive decision that, you know, I love food and beverage. It was my passion. It was clearly what I cut my teeth on and to learn in school and really enjoyed doing. But after, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, began to realize that, you know, the people who were taking on these much bigger roles, you know, running these properties, you know, kind of had the opportunity or were making the moves to get a much more diverse and broader spectrum of experience. So I left the Bellagio in 2000 and went over to join the Venetian, and Las Vegas Sands at the time, you know, was just basically coming, you know, it had just opened, you know, was totally a different experience. You know, high end, clearly, you know, the Venice theme, really unique amenities, services, design, all that. But it was really focused more on, you know, differentiating the marketplace, and that was, you know, focusing on the non-gaming, on the conventions and meeting space, you know, layering in the midweek with strong business, different than the casino, and then having the casino be the strength on the weekend. And it was a relatively new paradigm in the industry. But for me, I moved over into the conventions and catering side, and, you know, at the time, and the Venetian probably clearly still is, you know, was really looking to redefine the industry. They were doing, you know, comm decks, 200,000 people, you know,
wow.
these events, corporate events for, you know, with dinners and programs with 5, 6, 8, 10,000 people. So, you know,
wow.
when you're doing these things, they take over the entire property. And I was responsible for a lot of these, you know, large group, large citywide conventions at the property. So what was really cool is that, you know, when you have 5, 6,000 people in your building, basically the entire building is there to cater to that group or that event. And what it allowed me to
obviously.
Do, yeah, what it allowed me to do is basically start to interact with every single area in the building, whether it was hotel,
wow.
food, beverage,
wow.
you know, meeting space, retail, you know, everything in the building, gaming, you know, they kind of were interacting with everything. So it gave me a real great purview into every area of the building. But you know, what was happening is I was fortunate. I mean, I guess these meeting planners kept writing letters to, you know, this senior leadership and the team. And one day I was approached by, you know, some of the highest people in the organization. They kept saying, you know, how you keep getting these letters and people praising you and, you know, you're putting all your effort into it. Really appreciate it. You know, what do you want to do long term? And like my eyes just lit right up, of course. It was like another new door opening up. And so I was actually the first person in the organization to go through the executive development program there. The irony was it didn't exist. So I was literally sort of tasked with creating the program, going through it and learning it at the same time. And, you know, basically having that sort of education on the job while I was working my 60 hours in my other job every week.
Wow.
I think they were really, I think they were just testing me to see if I would actually do it. But lo and behold, I did it. And, you know, it opened up another door for me to get into corporate development. At the time, Macau is the early 2000s. We had just won a license there, and I got into corporate development working for, you know, for the COO of the company, and we were literally flying. And you know, you reference the swamp. I remember the day in the early 2002, you know, standing in the swamp in Cotai, you know, in between the areas of Macau, when there was just water there and they were dredging it. And Sheldon Adelson being there and saying, I'm going to build a Las Vegas Strip right here in Macau on this future land. And,
wow.
you know, once again, a true visionary, you know, doing something that had never been done before, you know, making your hair stand on end, just excitement and energy. And lo and behold, we opened the Sands Macau and began to develop the Cotai Strip. And I think everybody in the industry, probably on this call, kind of knows what happened after that. And so it was just really
yeah.
an exciting time to be part of
no
that organization.
Doubt. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, some of those things that you were involved in were once in a lifetime experiences. Just to be involved with Adelson and Steve Wynn is a great thing. So after the Venetian, there was a couple of bumps, but you got to work with Marriott himself, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, bumps is a, you know, probably an easy way to describe it. I mean, for those of us that remember, in the late 2000s, I had left the Venetian, kind of had my big opportunity to go and, you know, develop a brand-new hotel, casino. I actually joined the W Las Vegas as VP of Development and Operations. And as many of you probably know, the corner of Harmon and Koval in Las Vegas is still empty. So that project never went anywhere, unfortunately. So it was a little bit bumpy, and then I joined Marriott in 2007, and we were going to build the biggest Marriott hotel in the world, right where Piero's is, across from the convention center in Las Vegas.
Wow.
And I was the person on the ground basically overseeing the project, you know, heading up all of that $3 billion development locally, working directly with Bill Marriott, who, again, another visionary in our industry.
Wow.
And you know, it was an exciting time to be building a, you know, massive convention center, big casino, you know, 2,500 hotel rooms. And this was the heyday. Now, fast forward a year later, and that wasn't the heyday. It was the beginning of Lehman Brothers and the whole meltdown. And, you know, we were scared to death. I literally got a phone call from Bill Marriott, should have saved the voicemail, but basically telling me, you know, one morning that they were making the decision to put the project on hold. We were 90 days away from tearing down the hotels on the site, and he wanted to just see where this sort of, you know, economic malaise was going. And we put the project on hold, and that was the end of it. It, you know, it never really kind of surfaced from there. And so, you know, those were the rough years. And, you know, again, it created other opportunities to move on from there, which was exciting.
Wynn, Marriott, and Adelson, what made them so great? Why did they have that vision? What was it about them that was different?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, where do you even begin? I mean, they have a larger-than-life personality, but more importantly, they like to do the things that have never been done before. They like to raise the bar. But they have a pride. They have a focus on craftsmanship, the essence of hospitality, the ability to build these buildings and create these experiences and do what no one's ever done before. And clearly, I mean, it takes a lot of guts to do that kind of stuff. It's not for the faint of heart, but they put everything into it. You know, and I said earlier, I mean, I've been fortunate in my career. I love what I do, and so it's not really a job. It's clearly hard work, but if you have a passion for this and you really enjoy it like they do, you know, nothing is limited. Everything is possible. And I think they just extrapolate that out to the highest magnitude possible. You know, they drive themselves, they push themselves, but they create things that, you know, that change the world.
Talk a little bit about the Hard Rock. You've done so much there. You've won awards. You've been the number one gaming revenue in the state for the last 3 years. You just got sold to MGM. What have you done there that's been exceptional and made you rise so quickly?
It's a great property. Our owner, you know, really designed and developed a building that was unique in the marketplace, brought in the Hard Rock brand, which is so iconic. There's such a vibe and an energy in this brand and the type of products and services and experiences that we deliver. You know, the property itself, we really focus on the people. You know, as I've said many times, many people out there are building these buildings and filling them with great food and chandeliers and carpeting and all kinds of unique products and services. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to the people. And we hire people, they believe in what we're doing, we deliver those authentic experiences that rock. We have a culture of love all, serve all, and really taking care of people in the building, taking care of the guests, giving back to the community, really engaging the people that, you know, are in Northeast Ohio. And I think all of that combined, you know, with a really high quality product and service and experience allows us to be, again, experiential and relationship driven and not just a casino where you bang around in the slots or it's a commodity or a transaction. You really, people want to be there. They want to enjoy the experience. And I think it's favored us very well there. We've won all kinds of awards from, you know, best regional gaming and dining and entertainment, top 10 Pollstar for our entertainment venue. But more importantly, one thing I'm most proud of is 3 years in a row, top workplace for our employees. They're happy to be there. They enjoy their jobs. They stay. They grow in their careers. We take care of them. They take care of our guests. And it's really, you know, a magical, simple formula that you take a building that cost, you know, a couple $100 million and was recently, to your point, was, you know, was purchased by MGM International or MGP, and MGM is going to be operating it, and, you know, for $1 billion without table games, without a hotel. So it clearly has been a great, you know, a great opportunity to be there, working with wonderful people and a really great culture and environment. And Northeast Ohio is a really special place, you know, really great people up there. So it's been a lot of fun to be there.
A lot of people who are listening are wondering, how can I achieve success that you've experienced? What does it take, Mark? What do you got to do?
I thought you were going to tell me. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. But, I mean, I think I've been fortunate. I really have been blessed. You know, I have a family that supports me. I've had a lot of mentors in my career that, that I've engaged, and they've really given back to me. That's why, for me, it's so important to mentor the next generation of executives and leaders, to write articles and educate people and get more people engaged in our industry. I go back to Cornell, and I speak there, and I try to get the students involved and really show them how great of an industry it is. But, for me, it's been, if the expectation is to get to, to 10, try to deliver 12. Always deliver more. Become indispensable. If you're sitting at the table and you're invited there, don't just sit there and listen and, and be content that you're at the table. Participate. Raise your hand. Even if it's a crazy idea or something that, people might perceive as stupid, you've got to be part of the conversation. You've got to be somebody that when the job is tough or when there's something that nobody wants to do, people look to you, and you're that person that they have to have there to get the place running correctly or to get things done correctly. Becoming indispensable is critical. And then, caring about your people. I mean, I love to be on the floor. I love to be with the guests. I have no problem rolling up my sleeves and, whether it's picking up the trash or, parking cars or whatever it might be. It's, you've got to...
Area
really
1, restaurant doors.
Oh.
You there?
No, I'm here, yeah.
Got some interference there on the line. Sorry, you were saying being on the front lines. Actually, you have a story about that, right? About bartending.
Yeah.
Don't you like go?
Yeah, I mean,
on Saturday night. Tell us about that.
I mean, I go back to my Mirage days, and being a kid out of college, and people looking at you like I was running the bars and the beverage program, and I'm literally 22 years old, 23 years old, and there are people working. Under me, as the leader of the department, and they've had more years of experience than I've had years of life. And, they're looking at me like, well, how's this kid going to tell me how to do my job? And very quickly I realized that, that's a very big challenge. And so for me, what I learned to do, and again, I like doing it. I like the hard work. I don't mind it. On a Saturday night, the bar would be, would be packed. Our guys and girls would be running around. And, taking care of the guests, I'd roll up my sleeves in my suit. I would take the jacket off. I'd get on the line. I'd be washing glasses for hours on end. And these people are looking at me like, why are you doing that? You're our director,
wow,
or manager, or whatever. And, why are you doing this? And, I had no problem doing it. You roll up your sleeves, you do the job, but you're not any better. You're not any worse. You're part of the team. And I think that garnered me a lot of respect, and I continue to try and do that throughout my career. It doesn't matter what my title is or where I work. It's about taking care of your people. When they need your help, you've got to be in there. I've bussed tables in the buffet and in the Roxino on a busy night, and everyone's looking at me like I'm crazy. And you know what? They need the help, and I have no problem. And I think that goes a long way with kind of bridging those gaps and really engaging your employees. And even the guests would come up and compliment me. But, I mean, that's just – I think coming from that small town, blue collar, mid class, world, nothing is really should ever be too good for you. And something that I've learned as a life lesson that from my parents, I think, again, like you asked, that I think has just served me well, in my career.
Now, there's a lot of development going on everywhere. That last count, I think, was $22 billion in Vegas alone. And everywhere, Southern California, Northern California, everywhere. Everywhere people are building, new casinos are popping up. What's going to happen in 5 years when all this is built?
Yeah, I mean, that's the multi-billion dollar question. We are in such a unique time period right now with economic growth and low unemployment rates and development everywhere. I mean, clearly the United States is slowing down a little bit. There are still new developments and things going on. Overseas, there's tremendous opportunity for continued growth, whether it's Europe or Asia or Latin America, South America. There's so much going on, and our industry is still relatively new in a lot of those parts of the world. So there's so much really exciting opportunity out there to expand. One of the most interesting things back here domestically is clearly the REIT, the Real Estate Investment Trust, whether it's GLPI,
yeah,
or Penn's Penn's company, that, or not Penn, but, you know, Penn's spinoff company, you know, the MGP, which was, you know, the real estate owner for MGM, you know, Vici, VICI. I mean, it's a whole new spectrum, and the hotel industry did it about, you know, probably 30 or more years ago, where they spun off the real estate, and, you know, Marriott became a management company and a licensing company, and our industry is now moving in that direction, and it's a really exciting time. But, you know, capital is cheap still. There's still room for growth. There's rooms for mergers and acquisitions. Every day in the newspaper or, you know, online, wherever, you're seeing these deals being announced, this growth being announced. It's an interesting time. You know, we've had 6, 7, 8 years of continued market improvement from the recession. You know, there's going to be headwinds in the future. But again, I think if you build a high quality product and service and bring on great people and treat them well and teach them to take care of their guests, you know, you'll withstand the growth and the storms and the headwinds, and you'll always be a destination people will want to frequent as a place that they want to go when they're not at home or not at work. And so, you know, it's going to be a very interesting, you know, next 5 to 10 years to watch the growth, to watch these acquisitions and mergers, you know, to kind of figure out, how do we raise the bar? How do we attract millennials? How do we, you know, refresh and evolve the experience that we deliver to our guests? Because the industry is not just going to, it's not you build it and they come anymore. It really just isn't that way. And, you know, via competition and just, you know, freshness of what we do out there, we have to constantly and continue to evolve and push ourselves to do better. You know, it's not going to change just by standing still.
Yep, and work hard as you can.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Every day.
All right, let's take some, this has been great. Let's take some calls. Hello, this is Tino Magnata, GT Radio. Do you have a question for Mark?
Hey guys, good conversation. Pretty worthwhile stuff. Mark, a question for you. As you obviously you have the Hard Rock brand. I'm not sure what the agreement is out there with Hard Rock Incorporated, but could you talk a little bit about some of the synergies that you're seeing with, you know, some of the other Hard Rock hotels and casinos out there?
Yeah, it's a great question. I appreciate it. You know, Hard Rock is an international company. We're, you know, about 40, 47 years old plus. We're in as many countries around the world as Starbucks is, over 200 locations between our cafes, hotels, and casinos. You know, we just opened a new one, well, a newer one in Atlantic City, and we're building one in Northern California and looking at Japan and Spain, Barcelona. I mean, there's so much opportunity on the hotel and casino side. And so that integration is absolutely critical, and part of what, you know, our leader, Jim Allen, who's another visionary, truly a dynamic individual who is so smart and so talented and just really redefining our organization and our industry, you know, we're looking to bring, you know, the company to the next level of devolution. And we recently purchased the rights to the brand and the name West of the Mississippi. And so we're in the process of, you know, evolving as an organization, bringing these three different platforms together, integrating, you know, Players Club and rewards programs and IT synergies and guest service programs and, you know, everything under the sun, synergizing the brand and all of the different things that we do, so that the experience, you know, the value proposition, everything that we offer as part of the Hard Rock experience is similar and sort of integrated and synergized at all of our different properties. And so that's a big undertaking, and, you know, it's an evolution and something that we're absolutely focused on. And it's an exciting time within the company. You know, we have great projects and great people. We have new development. We've got over $2 billion worth of expansion development going on in Florida right now at Tampa and Hollywood. You know, new projects coming out of the ground in Sacramento. And so it's a really, really unique time to be part of the company with so much, you know, upside. So it's a great company. So thank you for the call.
Certainly a fantastic brand. So when you talk about the synergies, does that include, I mean, how are you months off, years off from being able to share the databases between Hard Rock and target each other's customers?
Yeah, that's the evolution that we're clearly going in. I mean, you know, with a history of having properties that are in some frame or fashion licensed or managed or owned, you know, we're in the process now of looking to integrate all of those components now, because you've got different people that are, you know, that are involved in the company doing different things. And so that is absolutely one of our focuses, is to, you know, bring that data, bring that, you know, players rewards programs, all the different amenities, you know, the interconnectivity of the company together. So it's on our immediate horizon. It's clearly a focus that we're evaluating, and something that, you know, will only make the brand and the experience stronger in the years to come.
Yeah, that's fantastic. One more question for you before I get off here. Can you just talk to us a little bit about sportsbook environment in the Midwest? You know, what are you guys planning on doing, and what do you see as a horizon? And do you think, obviously, with your Vegas roots, do you think that will have any, as sportsbook can expand, do you think that will have any effect on the Vegas market?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic question. So clearly that's the topic of, you know, of the day with, you know, the recent activity legally. You know, it's something that every market's going to evaluate differently. I really don't think that, you know, federally they're going to come out with a program for the entire country, but it'll be a state-by-state sort of, you know, decision. And so every state right now is evaluating. Now the elections are over. Clearly we kind of know who's, you know, in these political positions. And so every state's going to evaluate, you know, whether they want it, which most do, of course, because it's a new tax revenue source, and then how to facilitate it. Is it through the existing gaming properties? Is it not? You know, is it mobile online? Is it, you know, bricks and mortar? You know, how many can you have, et cetera. I mean, so all of that's going to happen. You know, in the Midwest, it's a little bit more conservative. The markets are a little bit different, literally state by state. We've seen it already roll out in a few states, you know, to this point. It's had a good start, and there will be more critical mass to come. I think the Vegas experience will not necessarily be impacted in a material way. I think the March Madness in Vegas, and clearly you can have that, you know, in the future in another market. But there's such a unique experience to going there for, you know, these big, big events and the betting, whether it's Kentucky Derby or Super Bowl or March Madness, whatever. That's truly a unique experience. So I don't think it will hurt, you know, the Vegas market directly. But it'll be a great new opportunity, again, to engage a different customer, to bring that experience more locally around the country as the markets evolve. And, you know, of course, to add a new revenue stream, a new amenity for properties, a new tax basis for these regions, and, you know, continue to evolve what we basically already offer, just, you know, in a limited fashion. So I think there'll be a lot more to watch coming forward into 2019, and I think it'll be an exciting time to be able to offer that amenity across the country.
That's great. Hey, guys, I certainly appreciate it, and thanks for the time, Mark.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. All right, bye-bye. Okay, next caller, good questions. Hello, this is Tino Magnetta, GT Radio. Do you have a question for Mark?
Hey, can
Hello?
You guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Go ahead. Mark, I'm enjoying listening to you talk. I think the formidable experience that you had with
Did we lose him?
Did we lose him?
Had it. Too long.
Are you there? Hello? I think we lost him.
Uh-oh.
Hello? You can still hear me, right, Mark?
I can hear you.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's go to another caller, and then if he pops back on, we can put him back in. Hang on one sec.
Perfect.
Hello, this is Tino Magnetta with GT Radio. Do you have a question for Mark?
Hi, Tino. Hi, Mark. This is Heather Lee with Atrant. And my question was, so, Mark, you had mentioned Steve Wynn, Sheldon Adelson, and that you've worked for, and also how you value mentorship. Were those your mentors, or is there one specific mentor that you could mention specifically and what you learned from them?
Oh, I've been fortunate. I've had a number of them. And by the way, we love your product, so great kiosk there. But I've been fortunate. I mean, one of my earliest mentors was a gentleman named Brad Stone, who, you know, took me under his wing and, you know, sometimes he tortured me with knowledge, but more importantly, he pushed me and I learned tremendously and he opened up doors for me. The whole Venetian enterprise between him and Bill Widener and Rob Goldstein were fantastic to me. You know, even today, John Lucas, who's our chief operating officer in our organization, is a mentor to me. I've learned so much from him and in so many different ways. And, you know, I think you have to look for one. You have to have the mentality that it's important to learn. I was telling Tino earlier that, you know, when we stop learning, you know, not only do we stop evolving, but, you know, a lot of the fun of what we do disappears. And so you have to find the right people to align yourself with. And, yes, it's a way to hopefully open up future doors and grow, you know, in what you do and everything. But more importantly, it's just an opportunity to learn and see new things. But that being said, you know, once you have had that experience, you know, if that's important to you, it is absolutely critical to then give back. And, you know, I've had a number of people that I've worked with that have the motivation, the ambition, the knowledge, the passion, and do the job. It's important to do the job, not just show up at the door and knock on it, but do the job, prove yourself, earn the respect and the opportunity, and then give it back. And so, you know, you have to pay it forward, and you've got to give back. And it's important to make that a part of your own personal culture and vision. And that's just, you know, something I've found that I think has helped me be successful, whether I've been growing in my career or helping future people grow in their career. And so, you know, it's been a really good time.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that.
Thanks so much, Heather. You have a good night.
You as well.
All right. Let's see if we can get the last guy who fell off. See if we can get him back. Excuse me. Hello, this is GT Radio. Do you have a question for Mark? Hello? Can you hear us? I guess they can't.
It's probably my parents don't know how to use the phone.
Let's try someone else here. Hang on one sec. Hello? Hello,
hey guys,
Tina,
how are you,
McMahon.
Michael?
You have a
hello? Hey, Tina, Mark. Michael Glauser here. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm here.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. Great stories, Mark. Hey, good question I got for you is what if you could pick one, either, you know, in your current role or across your career, what moment or project you're most proud of, something that sticks out?
Oh my God. That's a hard one. I mean, I've been pretty lucky that I've been part of experiences that, you know, whether it was opening the Bellagio, which truly will always resonate with me, you know, being on the ground in Macau at, you know, when we broke ground on Sands Macau and changing the whole industry there and that part of the world was extraordinary. Working in tribal gaming, I mean, I worked for a few years in Tucson, as you might know, and, you know, we were able to build a great hotel expansion, all non-gaming amenities, and the culture and the nuances, the unique perspective of having a property that, you know, we had hired a lot of the tribal members to work in there, and they had a pride and a glow and a beaming energy that, you know, that hotel and that expansion was their own, and they were welcoming guests in there. That will stick with me, you know, with me forever. I mean, it was truly, you know, a tremendous experience. And, you know, working with Hard Rock now, you know, clearly winning awards is not what we're in the business for, but having our team tell us that they appreciate working there and the things that we do, whether it's for Veterans Day or for team member growth or, you know, raising the bar of the experience has just been another, you know, great experience. And then culminating in that, you know, billion-dollar transaction for a regional gaming sole property. I mean, there have been, you know, I've been fortunate. Like I said, I've had a number of great experiences, great people that I've worked with, and they've helped me, you know, to have the, you know, the achievements and the success that I've had. It's a team effort. You know, it's not me. It's not I. It's a whole bunch of people, but when you put your energy and passion, no matter where you are or what you're doing, you know, you can find those truly iconic experiences and life-changing, you know, takeaways. So it's been a great ride. I really, I've enjoyed it, and I look forward to, you know, to more of those in the future.
Very cool. Great, great experiences. I got one more for you. You know, I shifted over to the agency side about a year and a half ago, as opposed to the operation marketing. What do you think as far as the agencies go? Because everybody, you know, everybody's got their opinion whether to bring marketing services in house, to have agencies. What do you think the role of agencies will play in the gaming industry going forward over the next 10 years?
I mean, it's clearly an interesting question. I mean, I think, you know, I think where we are in the industry right now, we are so challenged, you know, with finding people, you know, at every level from, you know, hourly levels to management to upper executive management. There's such a demand for people. So, you know, in my time, I've leveraged a number of agencies in all different fashions because there's great intellect, there's great experience, there's great creativity. And sometimes when you're in your organization and everyone's kind of drinking their own Kool-Aid, which is not a bad thing, but you may not get perspective, you may not get diversity, you may not get creativity. And I found that agencies oftentimes that I've brought on have challenged me, and we've worked twice as hard to create, you know, something truly unique, whether it's a tagline or a, you know, an advertising platform to you know, content wise and branding wise, you know, to creating new experiences on the property or to, you know, freshening up your guest service program. I think, you know, agencies in every different, you know, aspect of the business, whether we're talking about marketing or anything else, add a lot of value. But, you know, it's got to be the right fit for you, and it's got to be the right need for you. But I, you know, I welcome it. I think it's an opportunity to challenge yourself, get outside input, fresh eyes on what you do, and hopefully, you know, continue to evolve what it is that we offer each and every day.
Thank you. Great. It's a great perspective. Appreciate the feedback.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hear from you.
All right. Great questions. Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Mark?
Hi, this is Vince. I think you can hear me now.
Now we can, yes. You dropped out there for a minute.
I don't know what the problem was. I'm really enjoying the conversation. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you.
Just a question. How long have you been in Cleveland, and is there any unique features to the market that that you've had to accommodate? Anything in particular about the specific location? Just curious.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland's been a tremendous market. I've been there for a little over 4 years now. I came in pretty much right after, you know, 7 or 8 months after we opened the property. And, you know, it's unique. I mean, gaming has only been there for, you know, 5 or 6 years now. So it's a relatively new market. And so the challenges have been, you know, guests understanding everything that we do there, employees realizing that, you know, when they join the company or the industry, they may be working on a holiday or at 3 in the morning, you know, we never close our doors. So that's been some really unique things in that marketplace. You know, it's competitive. Clearly, it's still evolving. You know, what's interesting is literally in the same, you know, region, you have racinos and casinos, so the amenities are different. You know, my property, we don't even have table games right now, and yet we still lead the state in gaming revenue, competing against properties that have table games, slots, video poker, you know, poker, everything. So it's a very different animal, and it's a very unique space. But at the same token, the people there are amazing, the Midwestern values. You know, I think Hard Rock has resonated well there. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is 25 minutes away. People love their music. They love their entertainment. They love to get out and have fun. They love to watch the Browns. So they won yesterday, I think. So,
yay.
It's a comeback.
All right, they're winning some games. They're winning some games.
Yeah, so it's a good place.
Why
but,
do you think you're leading the market? Why do you think you're leading the market? Is it the brand? Or?
I think it's a combination of things. I mean, the brand clearly resonates with people there. People love music. They love entertainment. The Hard Rock, I think, is a unique brand offering that I think people really identify, and you know, it resonates with people. You know, our owner, you know, was a visionary in our industry as well. I mean, he could have easily put, you know, VLTs, which are slot machines, there, video lottery terminals. He could have put them into the racetrack and opened the doors quickly and probably made really good money. But instead, we built a brand new property from the ground up. We filled it with high quality amenities and you know, FF&E and finishes and you know, truly created an experience that if you walked in there, I mean, our tagline there is Vegas Experience, Ohio Address. And it literally came from, I used to stand in the lobby on a Saturday night every weekend, and I would hear people walk in, and it's their first time there, and they'd be like, wow, I feel like I'm in Vegas. And so, you know, the funny thing was is that we were literally creating a destination experience in a locals market, and it's been done before. We're not the first to do that, clearly. But again, engaging our team members to really go above and beyond and know their customers to deliver these great experiences and focus on, you know, ensuring that we have high-quality products and services, you know, I think has led us to be the market leader there. I mean, I think it's a combination of all of these different things, and, you know, we've really driven our business very, very hard to ensure that we continue to stay fresh. We expand the properties. We add new amenities, you know, in 5 years. I mean, one of the things that I'm very proud of there is we've given away, you know, we've made over $3.5 million in charitable donations to the local Northeast charitable and philanthropic organizations over the last 4.5 years in order to take care of the people in our neighborhoods, you know, whether it's Susan G. Komen or American Heart Association or our veterans, VFWs, on and on and on. We make an impact in the community, and I think that goes a long way, you know, to ensuring that you're not just an economic enterprise that's reinvesting, you're also a local citizen. And I think our guests really truly appreciate that. And I think it's, again, it's a great question. I don't think there's one solitary answer. I think it's a combination of things that have allowed us to really, you know, to really be successful in that marketplace.
Are there any games specifically that perhaps a Clevelander is more apt to play than in other markets that you've worked? I've been in certain markets where, like, the Cleopatra game was the hottest game in the whole city, all the casinos, that's all they had. And just wondering, is there anything unique like that you're seeing in terms of preferences?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think market by market, there's always going to be some nuances. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I spent time in the Vegas Strip and I spent time in the Vegas locals market working and I spent time regionally. And I found that, you know, a large portion of the games that we offer there, we don't have video poker or ETGs. We only have, you know, video reel and traditional games. You know, a lot of the performance metrics that we see in other markets are very similar. I mean, you know, a lot of the guests that are in Cleveland are making trips to, you know, to Vegas or to other marketplaces. And so, you know, in the Vegas locals market, video poker is huge, and that's not necessarily the same thing in other marketplaces. In this property, you know, in other properties in Vegas, the Buffalo games have been tremendously successful in more of a local regional market. Ours are very successful. They're probably not as successful. Our penny games perform very, very well. People, so it's a unique product because I think you've got the local regional marketplace, but again, because the game, you know, because the gaming is still relatively new, we do as well with some of our traditional games, you know, and some of the more local friendly-ish games like Buffalo, as we do with our penny games that people are out there just want to have a fun time and probably realize they may not win as much or as often, but they love the content, they love the interactivity, they love the boxes, you know, and they just really enjoy the experience. So I don't think there's been all that much different. I think we may be a little bit of a hybrid only because we are a relatively newer marketplace and we continue to grow as a state in gaming revenue. But there hasn't been like a category killer that's come out and just blown me away that I have never seen in another marketplace.
Did you say that you do not offer video poker?
At my property, we are a Racino property, so at this time we do not offer video poker at the Hard Rock Racino or electronic table games.
I didn't realize that was part of the requirement or restriction.
Yeah, there's two different models. There's a casino model, which is full-blown gaming, you know, everything from tables to every slot product, to a Racino, which is tied to the racetracks, obviously. There's seven of those, and there's four casinos, make yourself the 11 gaming properties in the state, and these seven racinos are right now they're limited to only offering video lottery terminal games, which are again are your traditional real products and your video slot machine type product. No games of skill, basically.
Interesting. I should know that, but I didn't realize that that was part of it. That's interesting. At least your hold's going to be positively impacted without them.
Yeah, well, clearly the business, and, that probably helps. But, we have customers that walk in all the time that really would like to, enjoy the experience that they have. They love, they love our quick hits games, so they enjoy that. But, the video poker, the reinvestment levels are typically higher, and they don't always tend to be as profitable. So they do impact your hold. And I think a lot of people don't realize that, when you're looking at, casino gaming properties in the state, and one has a really high hold and one has a really low hold, but at the end of the day, one offers video poker and ETGs and one doesn't offer them at all. And so there's going to be some different hold percentages and paybacks. And, I think our goal is to educate the people out there to better understand a lot of that, because many times they don't.
So your closest competitor is the downtown casino?
In our region, there's three other casinos. We have Jack Thistledown, we have the downtown Cleveland property, and then we have the Hollywood Youngstown property, which is obviously a Penn property in Youngstown, Ohio. It's about 45 minutes away from us.
So the only one that would have the video poker then is the one that's in downtown?
Correct. In our
region. I'm just curious what percentage of how popular they are down there. I'd be curious to...
I'm sure I can call some of our friends down there and probably ask them. I know they have a decent representation of those games on their floor, but probably not anywhere near what you would see in a Vegas locals market property. So I think they do well, but again, they're a more challenging game to be to be profitable with. So and again, I don't think maybe the sophistication or that sort of experience maybe isn't as wanted there in the Ohio or Northeast Ohio marketplace. So, but it's a good question. We can ask them.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, I sure appreciated, I really liked your comments about the Wynn organization. I'm actually doing some work with them right now. And although he's not physically present at this time, his legacy is tremendous and a very positive thing. His attention to detail, and I think most importantly, customer service is unmatched in our industry still.
Yeah,
you're
absolutely.
Exactly right. It's a great organization.
Yep. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in.
Enjoy the winter.
Take care. Thank you. Going already.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it's coming up, right?
Yeah, it's been snowing already. It's been like 35 degrees. So, yeah, welcome to winter in Ohio.
I was in Cleveland recently, and I was really impressed by all the development that's going on, especially down in where all the clinics are, the Cleveland clinics. It's pretty incredible, the expansion.
Yeah, I mean, I think LeBron coming back clearly helped. It kind of energized the city. The Indians going to the World Series a couple years ago. And there's so much goodwill. Mm-hmm. And the people there are just salt of the earth, great Midwestern value people. And it's nice to see the city's, resurging. We had the Republican convention there a couple years ago. And, there's a whole new appetite for growth there, whether it's the Cleveland Clinic, which is arguably the best, hospital organization in the country, medical program. And all kinds of other restaurant growth and retail growth and housing, et cetera. It's been a really, really great time to be in that marketplace. And again, it's the people just make it very special.
And Little Italy is great. They got good pastries and great pizza.
There you go. You got your vote in. There you go.
Mark, this has been fantastic. Thanks for being on the show. And, I want to get you back on next year, so let's stay in touch, and thanks so much for coming on.
I want to thank you and Golly for the opportunity to participate. You guys are doing great work out there, and we in the industry appreciate it, and this has been a lot of fun. I appreciate everybody's questions. Probably have some new news coming soon. I'll be able to tease you with that about me and where we're going, but what's going on. But I'd love to come back, so thank you for the opportunity, and thank you, everybody, for being on tonight.
Thanks, Mark. I really appreciate it.
Take care.
Have a good night. Bye-bye. Well, that was great. Mark definitely has a lot of experience. He's been around a long time. Wednesday, Aaron Motz, GM of Black Oak Casino. Don't miss it. It's going to be great. Remember, everybody's got a story to tell. You just have to have time to listen to it. Have a good night.